everybody, welcome back. It's been a long time. It's how long has it been?
I think 3 months. Since
3 months?
Yeah.
It's basically the whole summer since we last did a podcast. Yep, back in May. And so what have we done, Steve? Have we been productive over the summer?
In a word, no.
No, yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, we haven't really done much. Saw a couple of movies. I saw 310 to Yuma. That was pretty good. And I think there was something else. Oh, I saw a whole bunch of those summer blockbuster movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, the third one. I also saw Rush Hour 3 and... actually, I watched a lot of movies this year.
Yeah, you know, I think I did too, much more.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you decide to just do nothing for the summer. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, just a relaxing summer. We didn't really go anywhere. We just kind of hung around and went to the movies, ate out, watched TV.
Watched a lot of TV.
Sounds kind of pathetic, doesn't it?
Yep.
Well, what are you going to do? But now, it's the first day of fall, and I think we should be ready to get back to work. How about that? Is that is that the go right attitude?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, you know, I was looking over our sales stats.
Yeah, they're bad.
And the sales for our second CD, I Live in Losertown. Stinks.
Really?
It's the only thing you could characterize it is as a it's a complete bust. And I was wondering why was that? Because I felt that we did a better job of recording.
Yeah.
I think we did a better mixing job.
I agree.
And I think the songs that we wrote were as good, if not better, lyrically.
Definitely.
As the songs on the first CD. But you look at the stats and it's like a huge difference, the sales between the first one and the second one. And I think the only song that sold was Dick Cheney Greets the World.
Yeah? A lot? By a lot?
Yeah, by far. And which disappoints me because, you know, that's kind of a novelty, gimmicky song. And if that's your bestseller, then you're in trouble. So I was thinking, you know, why was this the case? I mean, looking back, I do have one regret in the way we sang. You know, because, you know, we're not the best singers, right? You know. So I was reading this book about... you know, how can you improve your singing? And basically, the guy was saying, you know, when you sing, you should sing like you're talking. Now, when you think about great singers, you know, guys like Frank Sinatra, you know, that's how they sung. You know, their singing voice was the same as their talking voice. You know, you think about rock singers, they don't do that. They really put the oomph into their vocals, and it's not really how they talk. But in the old days, I guess... they did that. You can only pull it off if you have a really distinctive voice, a clear voice. And I was going for that on the second CD, and now that I think about it, I don't think it worked, and I shouldn't have done it. So that's my one big regret on that CD. But I don't think that explains why the sales are so down.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think the sales on the first CD were probably more than they should have been, simply because of the title 6 Feet Under, I think, and we talked about this before.
Yeah, people probably thought there's a connection.
Yeah, exactly. People might connect it to the HBO show for some reason, even though I think, to me, it's clear that it has nothing to do with that show. But I don't know. I think maybe something had happened there and some people associated with the show. I don't know, you know, which makes me think that, you know, we talked about the third CD title being "It's All Downhill from Here." Maybe we should change it to Grey's Anatomy or something. Yeah, what's the name of the top show? What's going to be the name of the top show this season? Like Heroes. Yeah, we'll call it Heroes.
Maybe some stupid reality show.
Hey, look, it's the Hero soundtrack. No, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, we would never try to purposely deceive anybody. You know, when we titled the first CD, it was just coincidence. I didn't even know about this show.
We don't even have cable.
So, one other thing. Talking about, you know, singing styles. Going back to it. I also saw the music and lyrics DVD a couple weeks back. And, you know, one thing really interesting about that movie, it's, you know, that romantic comedy with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore, which I thought was, you know, pretty good, pretty funny.
Yeah, I like it.
And what was really interesting is it's about a songwriter who had a pop group in the 80s. And there's a scene with him and Drew Barrymore, and he was laying down the tracks in his apartment. And that really hit home because, you know, that's basically what we do, too, how we do it. You know, he's at his computer. I don't really know what program he's using, but...
Was he using a Mac?
He would lay down the drum beat, the guitar, the bass, and then overlay the vocals. So that... I really like that scene because it showed how a musician would create a demo. And I think Hugh Grant would be the first to admit that, you know, he's not a singer, although he does a passable job in the movie, you know. But when he's singing, he does what a lot of people who don't really sing do, and that's sing with this breathy voice, you know. And like I said, he does kind of pull it off. You know, I hear a lot of tracks on the internet from other amateurs like ourselves. And they do what they try to disguise their vocals by slapping on a ton of reverb, which doesn't help, and double tracking the vocals, like in the early days when the Beatles did it. And so they have double tracked vocal with huge slap echo, and it makes it sound worse.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anybody. It's like a guy wearing a toupee. Everybody knows what you're trying to do. It's not helping. And if you're not that great of a singer, don't do that. Do what Hugh Grant did, and that's sing with this breathy voice. You know, just, if you sing like that, you can kind of gloss over any kind of mistakes. And say, Steve, let's show them, let's demonstrate what we're talking about here. Why don't you plug in that guitar? The track that you know that they did in the movie was called "Way Back Into Love," and hold on 1 second, let me get that paper. Okay, the interesting thing is that when he was doing the demo with Drew Barrymore, and I don't know, maybe they did that to compensate for Drew Barrymore's vocal range, but it was in the key of A flat. Now, when they did the actual song in the movie, in the concert scene with Haley Bennett, who plays Cora Corman. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Cora. And, it was in the key of B flat rather than A flat. So it was one whole note up. And, what I usually do is that I play it in the key of B-flat, but I put a capo on the first fret and play it as if in the key of A. I just think it's easier. And there's a little bit in there that it's easy to play with the A chord. But anyway, did you plug it in?
Yeah, it's plugged in.
Okay, let me start the drum thing. And this is my imitation of Hugh Grant doing the breathy singing a bit. Let me just start the drums here. I've been living with the shadow over my head. I've been sleeping with the cloud above my bed. I've been lonely for so long. Trapped in the past, I just can't seem to move on. I've been hiding same dreams away, just in case I ever need them again someday. I've been setting aside time to clear a little space in the corner of my mind. All I wanna do is find a way back into love. I can make it through without. And, you know, that's all he does. He does his breathy singing voice, which, you know, is better than... And you can compare it to how Haley Bennett sings, and she really belts it out with confidence because she's an actual singer. By the way, it's not that difficult of a song. Again, it's in the key of A flat, but I think it's easier. I'm sorry. It's
B flat.
The key of B flat. The demo was in A flat. It's in the key of B flat. It's easier to play with a capo on the first fret. Then you would just play it as if it were in the key of A. Chords are, you know, A, F sharp minor, B minor, and E. Not too hard to figure out. So there you go. Another quickie lesson in a song that we happen to like. I used to have a Creative Prodigies keyboard. This was the original PS2 keyboard. And it worked great because it saved space on keyboards. And we're not really keyboard players, but it was nice to use it for some MIDI stuff. And when we upgraded our studio machine, it stopped working. I have no idea why. So later on, we were trying to figure out, well, should we just buy a MIDI controller like the Oxygen 2, I think that's what it's called, or you know, one of the other ones.
Oxygen,
not
something
that expensive. You can get it for under 100, $50. Or should we go for the newer version of the Creative Prodigies keyboard, because this one has a USB connection. So we thought, well, let's just try the Creative Prodigies again. And we plugged it in. This time it worked. There's no problems installing the drivers. But now some of the keys don't work. For instance, like the number 6 key doesn't work. The dash key doesn't work. And I went on the Creative Forums, and a lot of other people have the same problem with this stupid keyboard. You know, certain keys just stop working. And so my advice is don't buy it. It's a piece of shit. And I'm really disappointed with Creative as a company. I think they suck, basically. And
tell us how you really feel.
It's just a good thing that the keys that are not working on my keyboard are the keys that I don't really use a lot. I mean, the 6, I can use the number pad on the right. And some of the things I do, like Control-Alt to select everything, you could just use the screen and the mouse, the menu, to do a select all. But it's just a pain, and if it were one of the regular keys that stopped working, I would be really pissed off. And other people, unfortunately, have had that problem where it's actually the regular keys that you use to type normal letters and stuff, they stop working, and you never hear anything about it. You go on the forums and you don't see a response by Creative. It's not. I will never buy another Creative product again. I used to like their sound cards, and
the sound cards suck.
And it's it. I've had it.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have bought it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Since the first time,
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's that thing. I mean, if you have bad experience, and then that's it. That's it. No more. We should think about looking into an actual MIDI controller. Screw it. If we have to swap it out and we don't save space, I don't care anymore. Okay.
The other thing.
I'm getting kind of tired. Aren't you, Steve?
tired of what? I mean, tired in the sense of that, you know, music is kind of tiring. Making music is tiring. And I'm just wondering, you know, I just want to make this the third CD, like, go out with a big bang.
Bang?
You know, make it our masterpiece. Now, I think I've addressed this before. I want to make this our, like, final masterpiece, you know, 20 songs.
You mean quit?
And have it, after? You know, just put it out there. And then after that, retire.
Retire? You sure you want to say that?
Yeah, I'm serious, you know.
I mean,
It's not like, well, you know, we would never do anything again. You know, we just post stuff on the web. Oh, you know, because here's the thing. I keep saying that we're going to do this and do that, but then I'm just so lazy. And I have a feeling that I'm so lazy because I'm just tired, you know. When you first do something, it's exciting, and then after a while, you just lose the energy.
Man.
And so, like, for instance, when we did the February album writing month or whatever that was, FOM, you know, we said we were going to redo the songs.
Yeah.
And post them. And we haven't done that, and it's mainly my fault.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I just like to stay home and do nothing.
Don't we all?
So that's why I want to, you know, I want to release this third CD in, you know, 2008. And have it just go out with a big bang. Have it to sign off. I don't know. What do you think? Is that something? Do you still want to be doing this? I mean, you don't have to definitely say you quit because, you know, if you change your mind, you change your mind. You know, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, I take it all back then.
Yeah. See, forget what he said.
Yeah, I mean, if we do it, we do it. If we don't, we don't, right? If we continue,
yeah,
we
exactly.
continue. If we don't, we don't. We don't have to say anything.
That's right.
You know, you look at a lot of bands, they say they split it for good, but they always get back together. It's a money thing, I guess.
Of course, we're not making any.
Anything else we did over the summer? Let's see. I talked about some movies I saw. And anything that you have, say?
You know what? I've been drinking a lot of organic lemonade, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Newman's Own that uses cane sugar instead of corn syrup.
Yeah, you know, it tastes different.
I agree. I think there is a difference in the taste between cane sugar and corn syrup.
Yeah.
High fructose corn syrup. And I could swear, and I don't know if it's my memory that's playing tricks on me, but I could swear when I was a kid, Coca-Cola tasted differently than it does now. And it's not that Coke tastes bad now, but it just tastes different. And I don't know. I remember it was a different taste. And I miss that taste. And I wish there was a Coca-Cola bottling company that still uses cane sugar. I know there's a Dr. Pepper. There's a guy who bottles Dr. Pepper, and I think in Texas, that uses pure cane sugar. And I would like to try that out. It's expensive, though, to have the ship, you know, a 12-pack, whatever, you know, from Texas. But I feel like I should do that.
Yeah, do it. I'm curious to see.
Because just to see in my mind, if I'm imagining it, that it used to taste different when soda was made with cane sugar. And I, you know who I blame? I blame the sugar industry.
Here we go.
For putting up roadblocks to importing cheaper sugar from Brazil. You know. I mean, yeah, okay, it's a tough issue, right? I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to see, you know, American jobs disappear, you know? Because if we get flooded with cheap sugar, then, you know, what happens to our sugar industry? But, you know, there's something else here, too. Like, it's like survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, does it make sense to prop up an industry that can't compete with, you know, cheaper sugar from elsewhere? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I were a sugar farmer, I guess I would feel threatened too. But as a consumer, it just doesn't make sense to me that we put tariffs on other sugar that comes outside from outside the country.
But you know what I heard?
What?
That there's
the cost of sugar in soda isn't really that much.
Yeah, well,
you know, I would even pay more. You know, I would pay $2 for one of those 2-liter bottles if it had uses cane sugar instead of 99 cents. You know, I would pay double. Because frankly, you know, we shouldn't be drinking so much soda anyway. I mean, you know, who cares if they raise the price on soda? We shouldn't be drinking so much soda.
That's what you anyway. Say now.
Anything else? This is kind of a long podcast. It's up to 20 minutes.
20 minutes of nothing.
I can't think of anything.
I can't. I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, see you, you know, maybe Thanksgiving. Around Thanksgiving, we'll do another one. And it's hard to say because we've been so lazy about producing any tracks. It's kind of hard to justify doing a podcast if we're not going to do any, you know, preview any of our material. So, hope everybody had a great summer, and yeah. I hope everybody has a productive fall.
See you next time.